This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. This is the second of the khutab in the series The Way Forward, and inshallah one more khutbah next week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Bani Israel, in Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two historic events. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wa qadayna ila bani Israila fil kitabi latufsidunna fil ardi marratain, wa lata'alunna uluwan kabira. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ لِيَسُوءُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْا تَتْبِيرًا عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَنْ يَرْحَمَكُمْ وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا وَجَعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ حَسِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, and we warned the children of Israel, Bani Israel, in the scripture, you will certainly cause corruption in the land twice, and you will become extremely arrogant. When the first of the two warnings would come to pass, we would send against you some of our slaves of great might, great strength, who would ravage your homes. This would be a warning fulfilled. Then after your repentance, we would give you the upper hand over them and aid you with wealth and offspring, causing you to outnumber them. If you act rightly, it is for your own good, but if you do wrong, it is your own loss. And when the second warning would come to pass, your enemies would be left to totally disgrace you and enter the temple of Jerusalem, which is the Masjid of Sulaiman alayhi salam. As they entered it the first time, and utterly destroy whatever would fall into their hands. Perhaps your Lord, your Rabb, will have mercy on you if you repent. But if you return to sin, we will return to punishment. And we have made hell a permanent confinement for the disbelievers. In the first instance, in 597 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonians, besieged Jerusalem, which fell after a 30-month siege, following which the Babylonians systematically destroyed the city and the first temple, as they call it, which is the Masjid of Sulaiman alayhi salam. The kingdom of Judah was dissolved and many of its inhabitants were taken as slaves to Babylon. The second siege of Jerusalem of 70 CE, which is roughly 600 years later, was the decisive event of the first Roman-Jewish war of 66 to 73 CE, in which the Roman army, led by future Emperor Titus, besieged Jerusalem, and following a 5-month siege, the Romans destroyed the city, and the second Jewish temple was also destroyed, and enslaved and deported the survivors, whoever was still living. They did that. There were no Jews left in Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem was thoroughly sacked by the Romans. Buildings, homes, and walls were torn down, leaving the city in ruins. The level of devastation was such that Josephus, the historian, claimed that those who visited the city after its destruction could scarcely believe that it had ever been inhabited. Now you can imagine what kind of a destruction that was. In this period mentioned in the Quran, it was the Bani Israel who were the Khair Ummah of the time. They were the Muslims of the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they were living lives of disobedience and refused to repent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed his warlike slaves to enter the holy city and destroy and enslave the Muslims. Allah didn't say that this was because of the people in Jerusalem, because of what the people in Jerusalem itself were doing, but because of what the Bani Israel were doing generally, wherever they lived. And we know that they lived in many parts of the world. That is why many scholars have quoted these ayat and said that Jerusalem is a meter to check the health of the Muslim Ummah. This is also what Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu mentioned in his letter, which he wrote to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, when he was the commander of, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu was the commander of the army facing the Persians in the Battle of Qadsiyya. Today, as we see what is happening in Palestine, we must reflect on how we may be the reason it is happening. Like excess cholesterol harms the stomach, harms the heart. Excess cholesterol harms the heart, not the mouth or the stomach. Our actions can cause results elsewhere. To understand this logic, let us look at another famous incident, the disobedience of the archers in Uhud. Rasulullah ﷺ put 50 archers on the small hill near the mountain of Uhud and gave them specific instructions. He said to them, "Protect our backs. If you see us being killed, don't come to our aid. If you see us winning, do not join us. If you see the vultures flying off with us, don't leave until I send you a message. And if you see us trampling the enemy under our feet, don't leave until I send you a message." Very clear instructions. The Muslims were winning, and when the Quraysh fled, it looked like the battle was over. The Muslim soldiers got into the camp of the Quraysh and started collecting booty. There was great rejoicing and claims of victory. The archers on the hill, who Rasulullah ﷺ had placed there for just such an eventuality, with clear instructions not to abandon their posts no matter what happened, disobeyed him. When they saw the Muslims gathering booty, they wanted to go down and join them. Their commander Abdullah bin Jubayr radiallahu anhu reminded them of the orders of Rasulullah ﷺ, but 40 out of the 50 mutinied and they left. Their claim was that the order of Rasulullah ﷺ applied during the battle and not when the battle was over. Their leader reminded them that Rasulullah ﷺ had stated clearly that they must not leave their post no matter what happened, but they used their faulty logic to cover their real reason, which was the desire to collect booty, which they were afraid would be lost if they remained at their post. The result was that the commander of the cavalry of the Quraysh, Khalid ibn al-Walid of the Lanu, at that time he was not a Muslim, attacked from the rear, and the tide of the battle was overturned. The Muslims were defeated, 70 Sahaba were killed, and Rasulullah ﷺ himself was severely injured. Even his presence was not enough to avert disaster. Now, let's reflect on this event. Some Muslims disobeyed Rasulullah ﷺ, but others were killed, And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was badly hurt. They were not the people who disobeyed, but they were the ones who paid the price. Let us pause for a bit and reflect on the reasons we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam today. Among the most common reasons is because we feel that we will lose in a worldly sense if we obey. And another is because we feel that the order is not applicable today. Let us be clear that the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are not time-bound. They are not time-bound. They are not specific to a particular time and place. They are good for all people, for all time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this incident and He said, وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ ثُمَّ صَرَفَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah said, and Allah did indeed, and Allah did indeed fulfill His promise to you when you were killing them, killing your enemy, with His permission until the moment you lost your courage and fell to disputing about the order and disobeyed after He, Jalla Jalaluhu, showed you the booty which you love. Among you are some that desire this world and some that desire the hereafter. Then He, Jalla Jalaluhu, made you flee from them, which is your enemy, that He might test you. But surely He forgave you, and Allah is the most gracious to the believers. If we look at this incident and see what is happening in Gaza today and ask, what did they do to deserve this? Maybe it is because of us and not them. That is why we must begin by making sincere istighfar and tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that we spoil our own good situation by disobeying Him. Inna Allaha la yughayyiru ma bi qawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Allah said, indeed, Allah would never change the good condition of a people until they change it themselves, until they change their own state of faith. Therefore, the first thing to do is to own up to our sins and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what Nuh alayhi salam advised his people, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Allah said, Nuh alayhi salam said, I tell my people, seek your Rabb's forgiveness, for He is truly most forgiving. He will shower you with abundant rain and give you wealth and children and give you gardens as well as rivers. Let us examine our lives and our decisions, our ways and choices, and see where we are going against the Sunnah of Rasulullah and thereby displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and correct that immediately. Then we must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He is with the muttaqoon and muhsinoon, not with the fasiqoon, not with the disobedient. Inna Allaha ma'a alladhina taqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinoon. Surely Allah is with those who have taqwa and who do ihsan. Taqwa is the foundation of all goodness and strength, and we must regain it. Once we make istighfar and tawbah, which means we seek forgiveness and we change our lives, actual lives must be changed. And after we remove all disobedience from our lives, here is what we must do to change our personal and collective destiny. Remember that this is the long haul. It will take at least two generations. But unless we start now, we will condemn ourselves and our children and grandchildren to slavery. For those who are serious about creating change, which will be a sadaqah jariyah, there are four things that we must do right away. It begins with the purification of ourselves, body and soul. which is critical to success. Without purifying the body and soul, we cannot succeed. So the first thing to do is earn halal and eat halal and fulfill all fara'id. Whatever Allah has made obligatory, make sure we do it. Earn halal, eat halal, fulfill fara'id. It begins with that because the dua and the worship, ibadah, of those who earn and eat haram is not accepted. We need to begin by cleaning up our act. Let us return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, dua. We cannot and should not underestimate the power of dua. Don't say, oh, I can only make dua. No, dua is the most powerful thing to do. This is the most powerful tool that a believer has. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, dua is the weapon of the believer. It is the essence or epitome of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam, which is a lesson in how to make dua. There are three principles in making dua. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, express your own helplessness, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with His majesty and grace, not according to our fears and apprehensions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Maryam, ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُن بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانَتِ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا يرثني ويرث من آل يعقوب وجعله ربي رضيا. He said, this is a reminder of your Rabb's mercy to his slave Zakariya when he cried out to his Rabb secretly, nida al khafi, a small voice, saying, my Rabb, surely my bones have become brittle, meaning I am an old man, and grey hair has spread across my head, but I have never been disappointed in my dua to you, my Rabb. And I am concerned about the faith of my relatives after me, since my wife is barren. So grant me by your grace an heir who will inherit prophethood from me and the family of Yaqub, and make him, O Rabb, pleasing to you. There is a blessing in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, and so also in this terrible crisis in Palestine. Two amazing things have happened. Muslims who are normally divided on all kinds of bases have come together and are raising their voices in solidarity for the Palestinian people. And Muslims have realized that all their schemes and plans are worthless, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help us. And so they have turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are making dua. So while participating in protests and so on, please remember that change can come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and not from the protests. أعمال بالجوارح وقلوبنا متوكل على الله. We work with our hands and feet, but our hearts are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have reliance only on Him. Make sure you pray on time, respect the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make lots of dua. Don't leave all this in the protest. Keep begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until He changes the situation. Our job is to beg Him, so let us beg Him. All power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He promised to respond to those who call on Him. Number three, awareness. All of us should be aware of what is happening right now and educate ourselves regarding the history of the conflict. We should also be actively engaged in spreading awareness in our respective spheres of influence. Learn and teach. The problem is that many people claim to be experts on the Middle East, but when you ask them, where is Jordan, they say he retired. We don't need that. We must have our facts right. So let us learn. Then teach others. Teach-ins, seminars, fireside conversations, roundtables, open house sessions. Do whatever is suitable. But educate people. We must learn to speak objectively with dignity, without emotion, and neither provoke nor be provoked. Speak the language of human rights, justice, anti-racism, sanctity of of life, of human life, anti-apartheid and equality. And number four, get involved. Especially get involved with the BDS movement. To date, it is the most effective course of action. You have the right to buy or subscribe to anything or not. By your choice. Let us make it clear that we will not help those who support apartheid and have no respect for human life. Yes, it may be difficult to do without your favorite brands, but remember that is easier than being bombed and rendered homeless, which is what the Palestinians are now facing. Let us show our sincerity by putting our money where our mouth is. Finally, as we shall see next week, there are structural changes that we need to make in our careers, career goals, attitudes, focus, and effort, if we truly want to break out of the quicksand of humiliation that we are stuck in. We must change our priorities and support each other and efforts aimed at creating long-term change. More about this next week, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa barakatuh.